Okay, today's daf is Baba Kama, daf Mem Zayin. And we are on Mem Vavim Beis. We'll pick up with the second to last line on Mem Vavim Beis. And we started, Baruch Hashem, yesterday, the fifth parak here in Maseches Baba Kama, fifth out of ten. And we started parak Shar Shenagach Esapara. As we said, the prakim Yud Zayin Chav Zayin, Lamed Vav Mem Vav. So here on daf Mem Vav, yesterday's daf, we have the case of Suffolk, a shore, an ox scored a cow, and we're not sure whether the cow was a pregnant cow. We don't know if the cow gave birth to its offspring before the Maisa Hezek or after the Maisa Hezek. If it was before the Maisa Hezek, so then the damage also was to the Vlad, the Shar, the Baal HaShar also has to pay for the Vlad. And if it was beforehand, that it was not related, that he doesn't, so we're not sure, but any Yadua, it's not known when the Negicha took place, before the Leda or after the Leda. So the Mishnah had said that the owner of the Shar pays Chatzi Nezek for the Para and Revia Nezek for the Vlad. So we weren't sure what that meant, because if you add that all up, if you add up half and a quarter, it equals three quarters. Why would a Tom ever have to pay three quarters for a damage that they did? Right? Only Chatzi Nezek. So the Gemara gave one answer yesterday in the name of Abaya. Abaya says really it means half of what is stated. Half really means a quarter, and a quarter really means an eighth. Right? All together, and he works that out because the Para and the Vlad are owned by two different owners. And it works out that that's why you have each of them. Rava does not like that answer because Rava said doesn't say that in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah it says half and a quarter. So that's why Rava is about to give a different answer. Second to the last line, Ella Amar Rava, a different pshat to the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah mean by a half from the Para and a quarter from the Vlad? Says the Gemara, Elam Arava, La'olam, Bepara, Uvlad Dechad. Really, the Para and the Vlad are owned by the same person. Right? The victims. Both victims are owned by the same owner. Meaning an owner owned a pregnant cow. Man owned a pregnant cow, and he owns the cow and the fetus. Vahachi Kamrina, this is really what the Mishnah was telling us. Isa Lapara, if the Para is there, if the Para is still there and we see the Para, so then Mishtalim Chatzi Nezek Mipara. So then one could get Chatzi Nezek from the Mishtalim, Chatzi Nezek from the Para. Right? Why? Because as we'll see, Tom pays me gufo. Lesa lapara, mishtalim, revia nezek mi vlad. But if the para is not there, so then revia nezek is the most that one is going to get from the vlad. What does that mean? Rashi explains on top. Lesa lapara, vitam, eno mishtalim ele mi gufo. And Tom only gets paid up until the amount of mi gufo, as we have said. Vi amar le havli kula palga hezeka mi vlad. De iunami az, I'm sorry, this is going on the second case. I was talking about the first case, the second case. The para, the cow, that was nogeach, the shor. And then you're not sure if the para had its baby, had the fetus, before or after the Maisa Hezek, whether the Vlad took part in the Maisa Hezek. It was just flipped. We're talking about the second case and not the first case. So that's why, if the para is there, so that was for sure mazik. So if it's Shor Mazik, so then you definitely get Chatzi Nezek from the Para. But what if the Para is not there? So the Fishor Mazik is not there, but maybe the Vlad also took place in the part in the Maisa Hezek. So that's why you're not sure, so you're going to pay half of that, half of Chatzi Nezek, and therefore it is Revia Nezek. Back to the Rashi. So when the Nizek says, Havli Kula Palgezeka Mi Vlad Di Iunami Azkan Vahadi Para. So Tom is only Mishtali Migufo, and therefore, if the Para is not there, and the Nizek is saying, well, okay, so give me the whole Chatzi Nezek from the Vlad, because the Vlad also took part in the Hezek, and Virava Svirale Dechad Gufahu Vahavi Ke'echad Me'evareha. The Vlad is really part of the Para, part of the mother. It's like one body, like one of its limbs. Kidda Bafarish Pesavid the Mils, as we'll see in the minute in the Gemara, Mishalim Lemina Riva the Nizka, right? They only get a quarter of the payment from the Vlad, and the other quarter, the Nizek is Mafsid, even if the Vlad is worth enough, because we're not sure. We're not sure what to pay. Remember we said Sumchis, Maman Hamuta Basafik Cholkin. And therefore, says the Gemara, says Rava, Imshad of the second case of the Mishnah, Chatzi Nezek means from the Para, if the Para is there, and Revia Nezek is from the Vlad, because we're not sure exactly whether the Vlad took part in it or not. But, says the Gemara, time at the Loyadina and Yavi Vlad Bahada, Ki Nagcha Ilohavi. This halacha is only because we don't know if the Vlad was part of it when the Maisa Hezek took place. Avali Pshitolan, Tavi Vlad Bahada, but Ki Nagcha. But if we're sure that the Para was still pregnant when the Para did the act of Hezek, then Mishan Kuli Chazin Hezek Mi Vlad. Then it is possible that the entire nezek can be paid from the Vlad. The Vlad, if let's say the par is not there, you can get the whole nezek from the Vlad. Why? Because the Vlad took part in the hezek. The Vlad is part of the animal. Right? You say what, migufo? This is migufo. This is part of the migufo of the mazik. Rava l'taime, and this is Rava l'shitaso, as Rashi already explained, de amar Rava. Para shehizika, gova mivlada, a para that does damage, so we are able to collect from the Vlad inside. Why? My time agufahi. Because it is considered part of the body of the para. And that's why the nizik can just go get regular chatzi nizik migufa from the Vlad, just like from any other part of the para. So also the Vlad can supply the migufa. In contrast to tarnagola shehizika, if you have a chicken that did damage, and there is an egg inside the chicken, it had not been laid yet, the egg is not considered migufo, like the Vlad is called migufo. My taima, pirsha ba'almahu, because an egg is considered something separate from the mother bird, from the chicken, and therefore one would not be able to collect from there. The Shulchan Aruch paskins this way, like the maskana of if we know bavadai that the damage took place after the baby was the offspring was born, that the offspring would be part of it. Says the Shulchan Aruch Shin Tzadi Tes in 399 towards the end of Choshen Mishpat. Para mu'ubera shehizika go vechati nezek mimena umi vlada mipnei shehi kegufa. That's it, because if we know for sure that she was still pregnant when she did the damage, then we vadai get the paid from the guf. Afilu lesa lapara. And even if the para is not there, mishtalim kol chatzi nezek mehavlan. You get the entire chatzi nezek from the fetus, from the vlan, ebneshi migufa, because that is miguf of the mazik. The sma adds in here, pirish. Vahava amina, what's the hava amina that you have to say, even if the cow is not there? What's the difference? If the baby is considered, the fetus is considered part of the mother, what's the difference whether the mother's there? Vahava mina, the inkansad chiyuv avlada. You might have thought there's no separate chiyuv on the vlad. Avali isa lapara, malo lamazik lashalami apara lachud, ogame avlad. You might think a vlad is always only an add-on to the ikr mazik. Taha in sarach lashalami alachati nezek. Taha nizagam. You might have said the Vlad only pays when the mother source Mazik is paying. No, we say it's not only Revia, it is Chatzi Nezek even only from the Vlad. So that's quoted here in Shulchan Aruch in Shin Tzadi Tes. But the contrast also, Tarnagola Shehizika Enagova Mi Beitzasa Mibreisha Beitza Eina Migufa Ela Muvdeles Umufreshes. That's how the Shulchan Aruch translates Pirsha Ba'alma. It's separated and distinct, and therefore it is, you're not able to collect. The Ramah does add, we're only talking about full-grown eggs. Mihu, im ha-beitza aguda adayin begufa, yesh omrim degovin mimena. And he quotes some Rishonim, that if the egg is not fully developed, and it's still part of the mother chicken, so then we would say that would be collectible, that we would be considered guf. So it's interesting, the Gemara here does not mention the name of a Shas topic which seems to be connected to this sugya. And that is the sugya of Ubar Yerach Imohu, which the Gemara talks about elsewhere by human beings even, the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos. But Tosfos says right here, in Maitam Agufahu, Tosfos says, a couple of lines into the Tosfos, or even from the beginning, from Mida Amar Rava, from the fact that Rava here says that, I'm sorry, Tosa starts out from elsewhere. From the fact that Rava says elsewhere, Mesechas Temura and in Sanhedrin, Vlad Hanir Ba'as Hanogachas, if you have a pregnant animal that takes place in an Avera, Revia or Negicha, Aser Hi Uvlada, Nako Hi Uvlada, Nako Vihi Vlada Nirbu, right? If you have an animal that took place in an Avera, then they are both Usser, the mother and the offspring, are Usser to bring as a carbon. So, asks Tosis, could you prove from there the principle Ubar Yerach Imahu, that a fetus is considered the limb of the source organism? Says Tosis, no. You cannot prove it from that Gemara. Ein lochiyat Ubar Yerach Imahu. Why? To hasam ayrotayma, there, in the case of Negicha and Revia, or the, at least in the case of Revia, it relates to both. Hayrotayma shavlan atzmo nana mea Revia. Right, in a case where the fetus took part in the hana'a as well, so then there's no raya ubar yerech imo. Even if it's a separate entity, still, it would be asur lagabe habizbeach. But, as Tosfos for some argamara, it is a raya. Ach mishmaitzin yesh lahochiach. Why? Ki lesa lapara lehishtale mishtale minavlad. Because what does argamara say? As we just read in the Shulchan Aruch. If the mother's not there, you still pay full chatzi nezek from the baby. Right? Why is that? V'im lav yerech imo, if you say the uber, oh, got hanor, took part, but it's not yerech imo, lama mishtali mivlad chelko v'chelek apara. You wouldn't also pay the portion of the para's damage. Atu shnei shvarim tamim sheiziku, im nevan echen mehem, miyavim mishalim chelko v'chelek havero, if two tam oxen gored together, and one of them is not there, would you pay chatzin ezek from one of them? No. No, they're not, they together did a maisa hezek, but you don't pay from one of them for both of them. From one of them, you'd pay revia. So from the fact that Argamar says that even if just the vlad is there, you'd pay full chatzin nezek, including the portion of the mother, so that, says Tosis, proves ubar yerach imahu. That you can't get out of, and that's the sugya elsewhere. Tosis says that that is what is proven from Argamar. Tosis then says, so what about the case in Maseches Chulin, where the Gemara says, Hashochet es atrefo masa ba betes chai, if a shochet checks an animal and finds inside a betes chai, finds a, what the sugya is a ben pakua, right, finds a live animal inside. An animal is about to have a baby, and the shochet checked it, and the inside, so on a daraisa level, that's the special chiddush of ben pakua, the heter shchita of the mother, works for the fetus. The fetus is walking around, doesn't matter, it's as if it's shachut. On a daraisa level, doesn't need shchita. So the Gemara says there, what if the mother was a trefa? So if the mother was a trefa, the baby is still mutter. What do you mean? The mother was a trefa, the mother didn't have a heter shchita. So doesn't that show that uber lav yerech imahu? Because if it was yerech imahu, then the baby would be considered a trefa and would not have a heter shchita. So Tosfos discusses, in the name of the Ri, the b'chol makom uber yerech imahu levalin yishrefa. You're right, trefa would be an exception. Trefa would be an exception, because that goes by lemaisa, whether there is chiyus b'fnei atzmo, and if there is chiyus, then you might not say ubar yerech imahu. Either way, but in general, says Tosfos from Argamar, you could prove ubar yerech imo. And many other Rishonim wonder then, why didn't Argamar approve it? The Gemara says it elsewhere, so why didn't Argamara say, Shma mina from here, ubar yerech imo? So that is why many Rishonim say, and try to explain, how is it that even if you say uber lav yerech imahu, meaning the fetus has independence from its mother source, still you would say you're able to collect full nezek from the vlad. So all the different rishonim. If you look in the ra'ah writes there Maseches Chulin Adaf Nunches, he writes it in the Bedek Habayis on the Taurus Habayis, his sefer that he wrote, or the comments that he has along with the Rashba, that he writes there, She'efsha shalikvos me'avlad es chela kapara, she'mikivan she'chiyus havlad ba'a me'apara, min'adinu she'yihe kegufa, l'shalei me'havlad es chela kapara, avo be'emes lav uber yelav yerechimahu. He tries to have it both ways. The Ra'ah says that even if uber lav yerechimahu, but in our context, since their source of life is one, right, chiyus is from the para, still that would be good enough for the laws of hezek. Or the Ran there in Chulin uses an interesting word, because he uses this word elsewhere. The Ran there in Chulin, Adaf and Ches, this is Yud Ches Amid Beis in the Dafe Harif, says the, Yud Testament Aleph, I'm sorry, Vahi de Parshi Zika, to go over me Vlada, Lav Mishum to Ubar Yerech Imahu, Elisha Af Ha Ubar, Misayeya Benezek. No, it's just that when it comes, you have to look at every halachic context and see what you need. Says the Ron, in the case of Hezek, you don't need Uber Yerech Imahu. Even Lav Yerech Imo, but they both took part in one Maisa Hezek. And he uses the lashon of Misayeya Bahanezek. Misayeya, and that's explained by the Achronim, the Shar HaMelech explains, Shevlad Hanimsa B'mei Ha'im Hanugachas, Tosus' comparison is not a fair comparison, says the Shar HaMelech in discussing the sheet of the other Rishonim. Meaning, if you have two different oxen, fine. But even if you say Uber Lav Yerech Imahu, so the baby inside the mother is not like two different oxen, it's still not comparable. So he says, when you have two tam oxen, there are two mazikin. There are two mazikin, and you might even say there are two maisa heziks, and each one is only responsible for what they did. Here it's one maisa hezek. You might say it's only one label of a mazik. The para is half a mazik, and the vlad is the other half of the mazik. Is that two maziks? Right. Is it one maisa hezek, two maisa hezeks? Question. But here it's more of a combination, and therefore you can even collect from the chelek of the vlad, the chelek of the para, even though you would say ubar lav yerech imo. Interesting that the Ron uses the lashon of misayeya. He likes that lashon, it seems, because there's a more known comment of the Ron in Maseches Kiddushin about misayeya. The Gemara tells us at the beginning of Maseches, the second parak of Kiddushin, that mitzvah bo yosim e'bishlucho. It's more of a mitzvah for a person themselves to do a mitzvah than to send the shliach to do the mitzvah. What are the two examples given in the Gemara there in the beginning of the second parak? Kavet Shabbos and getting married. Kiddushin. So the Ron deals with the question of the Rishonim, what mitzvah are we talking about? So according to the Rambam, that getting married is a mitzvah, fine. That works. This is mitzvah bo yosim v'shlucho. But there are Rishonim that say that getting married is not a mitzvah. Pru Urvu is the mitzvah. So if Pru Urvu is the mitzvah, so what is the Gemara talking about? Of course you do that on your own, but the Gemara is talking about Kiddushin. And let's say, that's one issue, but let's say we're talking, there is no mitzvah of Kiddushin. So what mitzvah are we talking about? A heksher mitzvah? A heksher mitzvah of what? Puravu? A woman's not obligated in Puravu. Gemara and Yavamis, right? A woman's not even obligated. So even if you want to say it's talking about Puravu, a preparatory stage. So what would you say? The woman is not obligated. So again, the Ron uses the Lashon. The Avagab, the Isha, and the Mitzvah, Bepir Yavarivya, Mikal Makom, Yeshla Mitzvah, Befrei Shehi, Misayas Labaal. Obviously, the woman's part in Puravu is a larger than the fetus's part in the Maisa Hezek of the Shor. Right? A woman does the lion's share, basically everything, by the Mitzvah Puravu. And for the Xeris HaKas of reason, there is far as given why she's not obligated in Puravu, but that's the Ron's Lashon again. Shehi Misayas Labaal L'Kaye Mitzvaso. And therefore, it could still be called somewhat her mitzvah, in the context of Puravu. The Meshech Chacham in Parshas Noach, we've quoted this often, about why a woman is Petura from Puravu. Obviously, what do you mean? How could she be Petura? She's the one that does everything. The answer is for technical grounds, says the Meshech Chacham. Hashem cannot command a mitzvah that is inherently painful. Hashem can't. It's against the laws of mitzvos. Derechah darchei Noam, and therefore it can't be that there's a mitzvah that's painful. And that's why the Gemara in Sukkah says, in Lulav HaGazel, when the Gemara is trying to figure out what is a hadas, trying to figure out what is an anaf eitz avos, and there's a suggestion that's made of a certain branch, the Gemara says can't be, because that branch has thorns on it. And it can't be that every time we pick up a hadas, we're supposed to get bloody and have a branch that has thorns on it. So there can't be What about bris milah? So bris milah is an exception to the rule. That's becoming. That's becoming. Number one, we don't know how much pain the child feels. And number two, that's becoming a Jew, let's say. That's becoming a full Jew. But within the world of mitzvahs, when one is a Jew, you know, bris milah could be an exception. Still, we would say that that is the rule that the Meshech Chachma says, and therefore, that's why obviously, a woman that does everything by Puravu, but that's why she technically cannot be included. He does continue and say, but that is why Hashem put into a woman a motherly instinct to want to have a child, to need to have a child, even over, above and beyond the desire that a man has to have a child. That's why, to counter out the fact that she is not obligated. Okay, but either way, getting back to our sugya. So again, Tosfos says that from our Gemara, it is a raya, ubar yerach imo. The ra'ah, the ran, says no, even lav yerach imo, still here, nezek would be different, it would be enough to be part of the hezek, even if you say ubar lav yerach imo, we would still say that it would be good enough. Okay, and there's other points, but let's move on for a minute. Just one other, the Meiri says here, when the Gemara says the contrast of the chicken you cannot collect from the eggs, you can't collect anything from the eggs. Or you might have said you just can't collect the portion of the tarnagolas from the eggs, right? That's what it sounds like from some other Rishona, but the Meiri says, no, you can't collect anything from the eggs. And he has an important contrast to other areas of halacha. Says the Meiri here, page 146. Eino gove mi vlada klal. You could do not collect anything from the vlad. Afilu haya habetza. He's talking about the egg, but he calls it vlad. Afilu haya habetza la'echad. V'atarnagolas la'echad. Ein bal habetza misayeya klum. The bal habetza doesn't do anything. Why? She'ein ze basar la perish ba'alma. Ve'im la shum chiyus. It's not called that it took part in the Maisa Hezek. And again, this is talking about, as we saw in the Ramah, only if the egg is fully formed. If the egg is still only partially formed, then it's still part of the mother. But then the Meiri adds, even though, what did we just say? By a Maisa Hezek, the egg is considered totally separate. But let me ask you from another area of halacha. Even though regarding Yisra v'heter, we said the opposite. Shevlad trefa mutter. The vlad of a trefa, the fetus of a trefa. Remember we just said, quoted that Gemara. If the animal walks around and a ninth month after Yishef, then the vlad trefa is mutter. A vlad is considered separate. And ubeitzas trefa asura, and the egg of a trefa is asur, says the Meiri Yeva stira between chulin nunches and baba kama mem zayin. Why baba kama mem zayin? By the world of hezek, the vlad is considered together with the mother, and the egg is considered separate from the mother. While in chulin, by iser veheter, if you shech the trefa, the egg is called part of the mother, and the vlad is called separate from the mother. Ask the Meiri, tam hadavar. There's a difference in areas of halacha. Shele'inyin iser beitza agita begufa. Mash'ein kein bevlad. Regarding iser, an egg is considered more connected. A vlad is not. Why? Because trefa, shchita and trefa goes by, doesn't have its own independent life. And here, when the baby's about to be born, the Gemara says it has its own chiyus, so it's not nechshav a trefa. Avo bezu, but here in by hezek, Havlad misayel lahazik umiachar shanezek nasek echad afim nechsham kuguf echad aval beitza ina misayel b'kach. So interesting, says the Meiri, different areas of halacha, hilchos treifas and hilchos hezek, whether the egg is better or worse than the vlad. Okay, period. We continue. Now moving on, let's go to the next rava. We just said rava l'taimei in terms of the vlad paying half of the hezek. So v'yama rava, next statement about the seventh line or so. Ain shamin lapara bifnei atzma levlad bifnei atzma. An important rule for definitions of maisa hezek. Rava says when we try, let's say getting back to the case where the para is the victim. If the para and the vlad, right, they are damaged, they are killed by an attacking animal, you don't measure to figure out how much the hezek was. How much would a cow be worth and how much would a vlad be worth? Add up that total. That's the total that it was worth before the maisa hezek, and how much it's worth now when you figure out the difference. You don't do that, because that would hurt the mazik too much. That would be more than he should have to pay. What do you do? El ha-shamin, levlad, al-gav behema, al-gav para. No, what you do is you see how much a pregnant cow is worth. That's it. A pregnant cow is worth less than a cow by herself and a vlad by herself. So that is why, says the Gemara, when a pregnant cow is killed, you figure out how much a pregnant cow is worth. Right? Rashi says here, shamin para mu'uberes, kama haisa yafet chila. How much is a pregnant cow worth? We have a little rachmanis on the mazik, as we'll see. Similarly, shim iat for, well, first the svara, shim iat omer, okay, and if you don't say this, if you say you evaluate a cow and a vlad separately, nimsata machesh is a mazik. Then the mazik is going to pay too much, because that's not fair. You don't measure it. There wasn't before the hezek, there wasn't a separate pregnant mother and a fetus. No, there was just one pregnant cow. So that is all you have to measure. V'chein ata motzi v'kotei yad avdo shel chaveru. Same thing in terms of measuring if the eved's hand gets cut off, rachmana litzlan, the same svar would apply. What does that mean? Rashi explains. Ein shamin ayad b'fnei atzma lomar kama adam rotzeh litol to yad eved kazeh. No, you don't measure. Well, how much would the owner want to accept in order to have his eved's hand chopped off? How much would he pay? That would be a huge amount of money. He has a healthy eved. How much would he accept in payment? That would be a lot. So says the Gemara, you don't do that. No, you measure how much is an eved worth healthy, how much is an eved worth not healthy, and you figure out the difference. That's how you figure out the hezek, right? That would be, you don't go so much. V'chein et ha-motzi, finally, b'mazik sadeh shel chaveru, the same thing. If you have a huge field of strawberries, and the animal damages some of the strawberries, you don't measure how much the strawberries that were eaten are worth, but you measure how much is the field worth with these strawberries, and how much is the field worth without these strawberries. We'll get back to this, Beit Hashem, in the next parak at the beginning of Akonis. But those are the three examples given for how does one measure Nezek. If you look in the Rush, the first Rush, in the beginning of Hachovel, in the eighth parak, the Rush says this is all based on a pasuk. All based on a pasuk. Vishuma Zula Hakel, says the Rush. Whenever you evaluate these types of things, you go Lakula, Kidda Amrinan, Beresh Perak Apara. He quotes our Gemara. Like it says here, Vechenata Omer Bakotia Yad Chaveiro, and he quotes the whole Gemara here. Ain Shaman Hayad Befneats Malomar Kamal de Rosili told to Yad Evikaze. Devadai, Haro Avdu Shalem, Ain Kotia Yado, Elabadabim Rubim. Ula Hakel Bakola Shumos, Anula Maidin, Mi. Umibir b'steacher quotes a pasuk quoted on later on in the Gemara. Daf Nun Ches de Amra Torah Lashum Aruga Agav Sada, like the example of the field. Special ubir b'steacher, so you measure it al gav the rest of the sada. So we learn from there that that applies to any Maisa Hezek. You look at it in totality. You don't look at it as just what the part that was huzak. Right, which might connect to the Chakira of Hefsin Mamon, Maisa Hezek. It was a Maisa Hezek that was done to this entire field, or to this entire Eved. There was a Hezek done. There wasn't a Hezek only done to an arm. And therefore, you are able to evaluate it in the larger scheme of things. Good. So that is Rava. Amale Rava Chabrei de Rava L'Ravashi V'idina Hu L'Chesh Mazik. I don't understand. Why we make it? We just quoted the Pasuk. But now the Gemara is trying to figure out a Svara. If it's the din for him to pay the larger amount, why are we nervous or worried or concerned about the Mazik paying too much? If that's what he's supposed to pay, he's supposed to pay. What does it mean? Oh, he's paying too much. No, we're trying to figure out the Halacha here. So, what do you mean, L'Chesh Mazik? So the Gemara answers, no, Mishum de Amarle, Parama Varta Aziktach, Parama Varta Shaiminalacha. Because he could say, rightfully, look, my animal damaged a pregnant cow. So I'm ready to pay you a pregnant cow. Don't tell me that I'm going to pay you for a fetus and for a cow. Right, there was one Maisa Hezek done. If you look in the Chazon Yecheskel, he writes here in, on the Tosefta, right, Yecheskel Abramsky writes, actually in the next parak, parak Vav, he says, Masha yesh ladun badin shachit shetorah sheish lashum agav davar acher. Interesting chakira within this that the Torah says, based on our Gemara here, that you measure and evaluate the whole item as a whole. Imhu radin b'shuma b'yachas l'tashlumei anezek. Is this just a halacha in tashlumin, in payment? B'chdei shelo yafsid amazik. Is this just a din in hefsid mazik and how payment is viewed? Or what this is telling us, as we just formulated it, Oshuhu din be'etzem ha-nezek. It's not just a din in the tashlumen of the nezek, it's a din in the nezek itself. That's what this Gemara is being megala to us. How we view a Maisa Hezek. Sha'atora gilsalanu, shim achla peros aruga, ha-hezek misyaches el kol hasade, va'achevet hanizog, hu hasade v'lo ha-aruga levada. The question is, how do you view Maisa Hezek? Do you view Maisa Hezek the entire item, or do you view it as just this spot that was affected? Maybe that's the Chiddush of this line of the Gemara. V'lachein shaman l'gabi kol asada. How much is the field worth with these strawberries? Or without these strawberries, right? That's the chakira that he has, and he's noted to say, the more fundamental approach, that it's in terms of a Maisa Hezek. Even though one little spot was affected, but you look at it in terms of a Maisa Hezek. You might not say this in all areas of halacha. I'll give you another example that comes to mind. Hilchas Borer on Shabbos. Right, we know the case. What's the example of somebody, there's a bug that flies into somebody's soup. There's a hair that flies in, that falls in. So what's the halacha? We all know. What do? Take out some of the soup with the hair. Or with the bug. There's something that goes into, my water. My anything. You always take it a little bit along with. Why does that work? Why does that work? So you might say, well, you take out some of the good with the bad. So why isn't that borer? So, number one, you might say, because the malacha borer is only soles mitoch ochel. Taking bad from the good. That is the malacha. So if you take bad and good, that's not the malacha. That's one formulation. The other formulation is, I think it's the Taz, and the Chazon Ish explains it, that when I take the bug with some of the soup out of the soup, so then I'm not even doing an act of borer. I'm not separating the good from the bad, or even the good and the bad from the good. Because this psoles is not intermixed into the entire soup. It's only mixed into the spot of the soup that's surrounding it and that it's touching. If there's a hair, so if I take out a little bit of the soup that the hair is surrounded by, so then I've removed the mixture. I haven't separated from a mixture because I don't look at it that the entire soup is affected by this spot. No, it's just this spot and I removed the whole thing, the whole mixture, and now I'm left with the rest of the soup. So that is the opposite approach of this chakira. There, you don't say that the psoles is affecting the entire item. You look at it locally. So, it's no problem. That's Hilchas Borer b'Shabbos, and this is Hilchas Hezek. How you define a Hezek? What the Gemara is telling you by Hezek is that you look at the entire item. And again, you might say the lesser side of the chakira. In Achinami, the Hezek is only done on this part. But still, in Hilchas Tashlumin, there's a kula that you look at the larger item in general. Okay, finishing up. Pshita para dechad uvla dechad pit malabal para. We know, let's say, you have a pregnant cow. So a pregnant cow is both physically larger and weighs more. So there is, besides the fetus inside the cow, the animal, the mother cow, weighs more. Just like Lahavdil, a woman who's pregnant, she not only gains the weight of the baby, she gains weight from herself. Even if the baby's born, the woman doesn't go immediately back to her pre-pregnancy weight. There's still a lot of liquid or other weight inside of her. So Lahavdil, so by a cow, so what, let's say the cow is owned by one person and the Vlad is owned by the other. So the pregnant cow has a certain value. The value of the extra weight that the mother cow has. So who is that attributed to? Who is that caused by? Is that caused by the mother or is that caused by the fetus? So says the Gemara, Pshita de para de chad uvla de chad, pitma le bal para. The pitva, the extra weight, goes to the balapara. That's indirectly caused by the fetus, but really that weight is attributed to the mother cow. Nafchamai, what about the extra volume? Right, the animal is worth more because it's more, it's robust looking, it has a fuller appearance. So who is that connected to? Rav Papa Amar Labal Para, Rav Acha Bar Ravika Amar Cholkin, V'Hilchasa Cholkin. We're not sure. So you split it, we're not sure who it is attributed to. Period. Okay, we continue. Second Mishnah here in the fifth parak. Getting back to Kadarim, as we had in the previous parak. Potters. Hakadosh Shechlis Kdei Rosa L'chazav Alabai Shalom Bishuz. A potter puts his pots into a Chatzar HaNizak. Right? Or Chatzar Balabais, we'll call it for now, because there's going to be Nizak in both directions. Shalom Bishuz. He doesn't have any permission to put his stuff into a backyard, and he puts his pots into someone's backyard. Shelo birshus. What does shelo birshus mean? So we might have thought shelo birshus just means without asking. But it's a little more than that, says the Shita Bukubetzes. Shita Bukubetzes here quotes Rabbeinu Chananel. Shelo birshus means against his will. He doesn't want you to. Not just that he doesn't know. Pirish alo brishus, gon sha'omar lo bal hachatzer, al tachnisem, vihechnisem. Right? He told you not to put it in. And you put it in. That's the case here. That's what shalom b'shus means. So if he puts it in shalom b'shus, v'shavar b'am dosho balabayis, and the balabayis' animals broke, then pater. It's pater, right? The owner of the chatzer, I told you not to put them here. You put them here, not my fault. And therefore he's going to be pater. V'im huska bohen, and if the balabayis' animals get hurt by tripping over them, the balakaderis chayiv, then the balakaderis is chayiv. Right, because it's his fault. You put a mazik in my rishus. Right, if you put a mazik in rishus arabim, you're going to be chayiv. So surely, if you put a mazik in rishus anizik, you're going to be chayiv. And again, the meiri here has an important law shown. Which av hanezik is this? It's in rishus anizik. So which av hanezik is this? So the meiri says one of two things. Either bor. If there's bor rishus arabim, there's surely bor rishus anizak. It's not going to be any more lakula. More lechumra. Balak deir eschayav l'shalim esakol. Omidin bor. Omidin adam hamazik. Shahari hutel alav the shamram. Or adam hamazik. Shmira. Choser shmira. Adam hamazik doesn't mean need to have actual hezek, even if it's mine that I didn't wash properly. That's also av hanezek. Remember we had back on Daf Dalad, right? We had the Dalad shomrim being called avos nezikin. So this is case number one in the Mishnah. If I put my pots in without permission, if they break, you are not responsible, and if they damage your animal, then I'm going to be chayef. Bod v'im hechnes birshus, but if I had permission to put them in, baal hachatzer chayef, then the baal hachatzer is going to be chayef if my animal gets damaged, because we are now interpreting, the Gemara will talk about this, that when you say, yeah, bring him in, I'm also saying, bring him in, and my animals aren't going to break them. That is all part one. That if I, there's a potter. Hichlis, peiros of lachatz of balabayis. What about this case? Shalom b'shus. Somebody puts their fruit into the balabayis' yard without permission. Va'achaltan bedlash of balabayis. The owner's animals ate them. Potter. Potter. I didn't tell you to, I didn't give you permission to put him in there. My animal ate them. Okay. V'imhuzka bohen balapayis chayiv. But if the animal tripped on them and slipped on them, then the balapayis is going to be chayiv because you put a mazik into my rishus, bor or adam. V'im hechnes birshus, but if I gave you permission, balachatzer chayiv. Then again, the balachatzer is going to be chayiv for his animal eating the fruit. Second case. Third case. Hechnes shoro lachatzer balabayis shalo birshus. What if the somebody puts their ox into the balabayis' yard without permission? V'nagcho shoro shal balabayis, and it was gored by the balabayis' ox, right? Reuven puts his ox into Shimon's yard. Shimon's ox gores Reuven's ox. Osha nashko kalvo shal balabayis, or the balabayis' dog bites the ox that was put in putter. Because again, I didn't give you permission to put your animals here. So my animals damaged yours? Okay, I'm very sorry, but, you know, that's life. Nagachu shoro shal balabayis chayiv. And if the person who acted without permission, his oxen gored the balabayis, his oxen chayiv, he's going to be chayiv. Nafal labaro v'hivish meim av chayiv. What if the animal that I put in without permission falls into your pit of water and ruins your water? Chayiv. Again, just like if he damages your ox, if he damages your water. Haya aviv o b'no l'so chomish alayim esa kofer. And if the animal falls into the pit and kills your relative, you have to pay kofer. The Gemara will talk about. Why does the Dafka say father or son? Anybody, any person. We'll see. But if the person had permission to put his animal in here, to bring his ox in, then in all these cases, the balachatzer is going to be chayiv for the damages that his own animal causes the other animal. Rebbe Omer, bikulan eno chayiv, achi yekabel, alav, balabayis, lishmar. Rebbe says in all these cases, no. Even if permission is given, the balachatzer is not going to be chayiv. Unless he's makabel beferish, I'm makabel to watch it. But if not, he is not going to be responsible. Just one diak on the Mishnah before we continue. Why is it that the Mishnah brings in a dog? What's the difference? The Mishnah says, if Reuven brings in his ox and Shimon's ox gores him, or Shimon's dog bites him, pater, because you didn't have permission. What's the chiddush of a dog? So if you look in the Mefarshim on Mishnah, the Tiferes Yisrael first leaves it at Tzarachian. He just notes it. He says, Tamili. He says, why is it that a dog is mentioned? All other Mishnayos here. He says, like in the beginning of the third parak, we're medayig. Why does it say mayim? And laka b'char seha, we're always medayig. And here, the Gemara doesn't say a word. Why? What's the chiddush of dogs? So if you look in the Melech Shlomo here on Mishnayos, he says maybe the chiddush is as follows: Nir laniyas daiti d'lerabusa nakte velozu avzuktani lo mi boi imnachu sharo shabal abayis depater. Not only if, again, Reuven brings in his ox, and it is gored by Shimon's ox, not only there is Shimon Pater, Tekiva Tahavile Lamachis Lasuki Adaite, Doma Yikachenu Shoshabalabayas. You, Reuven, should have realized that my ox might gore your ox. So there for sure I'm Pater. But why Demin Bamino Miskanin? Because oxen play around with each other. Min Bamino Miskanin. When you have two things very close to each other, they're jealous. Ella, the chiddush is, even neshacho kalbo shobal abayis. Since when is a dog going to start up with an ox? So if I know you only have dogs and not oxen, so maybe it's not my responsibility to think that your crazy wild dog is going to bite my ox. So maybe you would have thought there that the balachatzer is going to be chayiv in that case. Kamash malano. Kamash malano, he's even putter in that case because you shouldn't bring your animal in here. It's your fault. Fine. So in the Mishnah we have the case of the pots, and we have the case of the fruit, and we have the case of the oxen. And in all these cases, if there was permission given, then the Baal HaChatzer, if there was no permission given, the Baal HaChatzer is Pater. If there was permission given, then the Baal HaChatzer is Chayiv. Rebbe says, even if permission was given, the Baal HaChatzer is not Chayiv. So says the Gemara, Taima de Shalom Bershus. All these cases, we say, why is the, if the animal owned by the Baal HaChatzer is nhuzak by the stuff brought in, so then the Baal, the Machnis, we'll call him the Machnis, is going to be Chayiv, right? Says, right, so Taima, as Rashi says, Mishum Hachim Huzka b'hem Baal HaKadir is Chayiv. The reason is because it was Shalom Bershus, because the Machnis brought it in Shalom Bershus, that's why he's going to be Chayiv if the animal of the Baal HaChatzer was damaged. Ha Bershus, lo Machayiv Baal HaKadiris, b'nizkei b'hem to the Baal HaChatzer. But if the Baal Kaderos had permission, then he would not be responsible for any damage caused by his pots to the Baal HaChatzer's animals. V'lo Amrinan, we don't say, again, if it was Bershus, Kibule Kabel Baal Kaderos Itirusa de Behemto de Baal Chatzer. We don't say that the Baal HaKaderos agreed, I'm bringing my stuff in, and I'm going to make sure my pots don't hurt your animals. We don't say that. We don't say that. That his Kaderos aren't going to be damaged, the Baal HaChatzer's Kaderos. Mani, so who is this according to? Who says that there is no automatic Kabbalas Achrayas. Whenever there are cases like this, Rebbe he, Da'amar kol b'stama lo kabal in a tirusa. Rebbe says, Rebbe Shita is, as we had in the end of the Mishnah, anytime there is nothing explicit said, we don't assume there was Kabbalas Achrayas. So here, when the Baal HaKadar, when the Paner brings his stuff in, and he is allowed into the yard, we don't say, he didn't say anything, so we don't say he was Makabal Achrayas for his pots. He's bringing his pots in, and anything can happen. He's not going to be responsible. There's only Kabbalas Achrayas if it's said explicitly. That is Rebbe Shita. So that's what you get from the first part of the Mishnah. Say, Ema Seifa, what about the next line in the Mishnah? Im Hechnes Bershus, Baal HaChatzer Chayiv. If he was Machnes Birshus, then the Baal HaChatzer is going to be Chayiv. Why? Because we assume that means the Baal HaChatzer is saying, yeah, bring it in, and I'll be responsible. Asan l'Rabbanan, da'amri b'stama nami kibuli kabbalat etirusa. Right, that line sounds like, even without explicating the Kabbalas Achrayas, still, they are going to be, the Baal HaChatzer is going to be responsible. Right, says the Bnei Yeshua. It doesn't even mean Kabbalas Achrayas in the normal sense. With the Pnei Yeshua. In the Pnei Yeshua, he says, not in the Kabbalah, the Shmira of regular Nezek, but it's a Hischaibus Midas, we might call it. It's a separate Kabbalah, and you can be Makabel any type of Achrayas that you want, says the Pnei Yeshua. Call Lashon Netirusa Hamor Kan. The whole Gemara that we're talking about here, Eina Kavana Al Chi of Dine Nezikin. It's a Kabbalas Achrayas. It's Chayvus Midas. That's what is going on here. That's what the Rabbanan say implicitly, and Rebbe says explicitly. So the first line of the Mishnah sounds like Rebbe. The next line of the Mishnah sounds like the Rabbanan. Visu, and also it's a problem that the last line of the Mishnah explicitly has Rebbe Shita. Rebbe Omer, Bikulan Eini Chayev Achi Kabel Allah Balabais Lishmar. Rebbe said, that's Rebbe Shita, the last line of the Mishnah. So Reisha V'Sefer Rebbe U'Misyasa Rabbanan, does that fit? The first and the last part of the Mishnah are Rebbe, and the middle part is the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, yeah, Amar Rebbe Zeira Tavra, Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. In Achinami, there are different parts of the Mishnah, different opinions. The first two opinions of the Gemara, of the Mishnah, is really reflecting two different opinions of the Rabbanan, and then finally Rebbe. Either way, yes. Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu means each line of the Mishnah is reflecting different opinions. Rava Amar, no. Kula Rabbanani, really, it's the Rabbanan Shita, and we have a new Kimta. Ubirishus, Shmiras, Kederos, Kibala, Balachatzer, Afilu Nishbura Baruach. And the case is, basically to say, don't compare when the Machnis accepts Achrayas going in, and the Baal HaChatzer accepts that you're allowed into his Rishus. There's a big difference there, the Gemara is saying. When the Baal HaKederos, or the Baal HaPeros, brings in, and they have permission to come in, there, you might say, there's no. What are they accepting? They're now allowed to go in. So that's not an acceptance. So that's what the Gemara says here. Ubir shus shmiras kederos kibo la balachotzer. V'yafilu nishbur baruach. The balachotzer might accept things when he says, yes, come in. The balachaderos does not. Don't compare the two. And therefore, it could all be the shita of the Rabbanan. That there is an automatic acceptance against Rebbe, but when the Baal HaKederos brings his stuff in, that's not accepting anything. That's just being allowed in. Good. Continuing. Hiklis peiros of l'chazer balabayis v'chulu. So Amar Rav. So now Rav says, Lo Shanu, when do we say that if the Baal HaPeros, the fruit case, if he brings fruit into the yard, and the animal trips on his fruit, he's chayiv, Lo Shanu ela shehuchlu kabahen. We only say this when the Baal HaChazer's animal slips on them. So then the Baal HaPeros is going to be chayiv. Aval achla, what if the animal of the Baal HaChatzer eats the fruit, overeats, and dies because of that? Do we still say the Baal HaPeros is going to be chayiv? So Gemara says no. Pater in that case. My taima, havela shelo tochal. It's your fault. He shouldn't have eaten. He ate too. If he trips on my fruit, fine, I'm going to be chayiv. If he overeats my fruit, he should have stopped eating. Havela shelo tochal. That is the statement of Rav. Amar Rav Sheshes, there's a lot to mention there. What that means, well, let's just do a little more. Amar Rav Sheshes. You know what, let's stop for a minute. So what does that mean? Havelei shelo tochal. What is that svara? So the Tosfos says that this Nizak brought the Hezek on himself, actively. Look at the end of Tosfos, Havila. Elahainu taima, kibon shebimiskaven, mevi alav, davar shemaziko, ein roilo lischayavakach. You brought, yes, I created a somewhat of a negligent situation, but you, the animal itself, did the hezek to himself, and therefore, I'm not going to be responsible. Tosfos explains more, not why there's a ptur, per se, but why I shouldn't be chayef, because you did it to yourself. And the Tosfos adds the line that the Machnas just did grumma. Grama b'dizakin, but the other person did it himself. The Rush says it's somewhat of a milsa de lo shricha, that the animal will eat so much. Maybe that's why he's not going to be chayiv in this case. But that's havelei shelo tochal. Amar Rav Sheshes, aminik inayim v'shachiv rav amar lahashmaitza, a statement that Rav Sheshes says in a few places in Shas, more than once in Baba Kama. Rav Sheshes says, Rav must have been sleeping when he said this. Right, what does that mean? Chas v'shalom, to say something like this. So the Chavos Yair has a tshuva where he talks about all of the insults in the Gemara. Many times where it looks like one Tana is insulting the other one, and he explains, this is what it means. And he explains there that Rav Sheshes here is not insulting, but he's saying, Rav is so unbelievable, so that this doesn't make sense. He must have been dozing a little bit. Not that he's insulting Rav, he's complimenting Rav. It can't be that Rav said this, because Rav would never have said such a thing. It must be that somehow, maybe he was up all night learning the night before, and he made this comment. So that's why, yeah, if you look at it. But either way, Rav Sheshes is upset about what Rav said here. So why? Because the following. Titania, the Brisa says, I know, see, some of us live in a chavero. If a person puts poison down in front of their animal's friend, their friend's animal, potamidini adam, v'chayvidini shamayim. And the animal goes and eats the poison. So then the Brisa says, Chayiv Bedine Shamayim, not Bedine Adam. So Samhamabis who to law vida da'achla. So we're medayik, only poison you're going to be pater medine Adam, because animals don't usually eat poison. Aval peros da'avida da'achla, but fruit which people normally eat, Bedine Adam namiyach mechayiv. Only poison you're going to be part of Medini Adam. But fruit, you should be chayim Medini Adam. V'yamai, havilei shalatochal. Right, says Rav Sheshes. But what do you mean? Why would you be chayim in a case where the other animal overeats? Didn't Rav just say, havilei shalatochal? It's their fault. It's the Nizak's fault. So the Gemara says, Amri yuha din afilu peiros nami part of Medini Adam. Really, Rav would say, in that case from later on, really, padim medini adam, even not only by poison, but even by fruit. Well, how come Ash wants to, what's the chiddush by putting poison? Diafilu sam hamaves nami. The law of vida da'achla, even poison, which is not normally eaten, chayav dinei shamayim. You would have thought patur legamre, because it's not normal for an animal to eat this. That's the chiddush of that Gemara. You eat, but you're still chayav bidinei shamayim by the case of poison. Or maybe it's talking about a different kind of poison. We're talking about a type of poison that is edible by animals. Fruit, some type of asev, Rashi says. Some type of herb that is eaten by animals, which is sam hamaves, and that's what it is referring to. Number one. Stop for a second. The Chashukei Chemed here discusses a case again of Havile Shalom. Following case. Somebody goes into a hotel, Nichnas the Beis Malon Mifuar. He goes into a hotel and sits on a nice couch in the hotel. And you know how sometimes it happens, some type of chair that we sit on, there's a nail inside the cushion. You sit down on the cushion and you catch yourself on a nail. There was a nail there, and he rips his suit on the nail. Is the hotel responsible? Is the hotel responsible? The hotel said you could come in. But do we say Havile lehizoher when you sit down? Lechora bala malon pater miyikir adin al nezeh ha-khalifa. Pashas, he said, you lechora will be pater. Why? Mipnei shaham masmer dino kibor. Unbelievable, you see Baba Kama alive. The masmer is like a bar b'rishus harabim, let's say, right? It's a bar in the area where everybody works, and bar is pater on kalim. If he got injured, so it's adam. But par is pater on kalim. Ach, we call makom yitachin, but maybe not. Yitachin sheish makom lachayev is baal beis malon midin chiyev shmira. Because our case, right, Rebbe, Bakulan, your Makabel, when somebody says you could come in, isn't that saying you could come in and there's nothing dangerous in here? V'imkeinu le'af b'inyanenu. Anhalas beis hamalon mekabelas alatzma lefatzosas balachelifa sheshilim tavin v'takilin aliruch. You paid good money to come in here. You expect it to be guarded, safe, and no nails sticking out. Right? Nobody, lo'ola aldaito, nobody thinks that if they're going to sit down on a chair or a cushion in a hotel, that there's going to be a nail sticking out. Shalaf echan mei masmer v'shar dvarim shichon lahazek b'kisos. So he adds off b'tzarech iyan, but seemingly noted to say that it should be a chiyuv. Right, it doesn't pass in that way, but you don't say Havilei Lehizar in this case, because he shouldn't have known. No way that he could have known that there would have been a nail. Fine. Meisvei finishing up, last section. Ha'isha shenechnas ha'litchon chita meitzol ba'alabai shalom b'rishus. A woman goes in to grind wheat. She brings in wheat into a store. Eitzol ba'alabai shalom b'rishus. Right, without permission. V'achalten b'etnosho ba'alabayis. Meaning, why does it say, the Rishonim discuss here, why does it say dafka, a woman and wheat? Somebody brings food into someone else's house without permission. And the animal of the balabais ate it putter. Right? You are no rishus to bring the food in. I'm not going to pay for it. Im huzka chayeves. And if my animals tripped on your food, chayeves. V'yamai. Neim alei havalei shalotokal. Says the Gemara. Well, we understand maybe this means that the animals overate the wheat. So we say, why chayev? Havalei shalotokal. Says the Gemara. Ami yomiya difa mi masisan du kimna shukhul kabahen. What do you mean? So say the Brice is the same thing like the Mishnah. There was no eating here. The animal slipped on them. That's where you're going to be chayiv. B'nachinami, if the animal overate them, Rav would say, pater. Says the Gemara, u'dekarila, my karila, what was the havamina? Of course, you could say that was the pshat here. The Brice doesn't explicate how the animal was damaged. So amar alacha, no. Bishlama masnisan. Fine, in the Mishnah, we automatically assume that the animal was huchlak. Why? Bishlama masnisan k'tani imhuzka bohen. Shehuchlaka bohenu. Right? It says bohen, which means in them. In them means you could get damaged by slipping on them. Aval hacha k'tani imhuzka. V'lo k'tani bohen. It doesn't add that extra word. Achilahu tektani. That's what we thought it meant, eating. That's what we thought it meant. V'idach, amar l'choloshno. The other opinion would say, no. The maskana is, that doesn't make a difference. It's talking about slipped on them. It's not talking about eating them. Tashma, last one. Hich l'shor l'chatzab alabay shalom b'rshus v'achachitin v'hisriz v'meis pater. What if the animal, the ox, was brought into the chatzab alabayis without permission and ate wheat from the balabayas's, right? It didn't have permission to be there. It overate. The history is it relieved itself in an extreme way. Vameis, and then the animal died. Pater. Then the owner is pater. What are you doing in my chatzer? V'mechles bershus balachatzer chayiv. But if the balachatzer gave permission for the person to bring his animal in, then the balachatzer is going to be chayiv. V'yamai havalishlo yochal. What do you mean? I gave you permission to bring your animal in, so why should I be chayiv? It should be, oh, you shouldn't have eaten so much. Amar Rava, birshus ashalo, birshus karamis. What you're asking is two different things. Birshus, shmira shoror kibola, filu chanak es atzmo. If I give you permission, then I say, I'm going to take care of your animal. Period. The other cases before were shalo birshus. But if I let you come into my field, so then I am saying, basically, I have it covered. Okay, we'll stop here. But Hashem, we'll continue next time as we continue with the interpersonal relationships here in Daf Yomi land, Baba Kama, Mem Zayin we did, Rav Hashem, next time coming up with Daf Mem Ches.